Thank you. I probably am one of the few people that needs no introduction here. Unfortunately, most everyone knows me. They probably think that. Thank you for allowing me to use the graduating class to address you this evening. And rest assured, it is an honor. I'm so nervous. I walked off and didn't even bring the program with me. Haven't turned my sound on yet. And after that message, they don't need me, Andrew. You did fine there. I was concerned though, because I began to think you were probably going to get right over onto my message. So that would have been quite all right. Also to the faculty and the staff who are here this evening, we welcome you. The parents, relatives, friends, whatever relationship you may be. We are always honored to have you, and what an honor it is to have all of these good-looking ladies and gentlemen here tonight. I will promise you that I'll keep this very brief, but the first thing I need to do is clarify why we had the reception before we had the service. And I apologize for that. That's what happens when you get old. I've been announcing here for several weeks the service would be at 7 o'clock here at our church, and the paper comes out and says it's 6:30, and I hit the panic button. And so I call Mrs. Rife and talk to her, and I said, you know what, that's my mistake. And so what I think probably we can do, all of the graduates will already be here for the 6:30, and their mamas and daddies will be here, and all of their families are going to be here. The only people who might not be here are those people who come to church here that I've announced 7 o'clock, and they'll come in about 7. So we'll do the reception first, and then we'll do the service. So now that's the best explanation I can give you. And again, my apologies for that. I do want to say to you graduates that usually schools and classes like to be the first at doing something. Y'all just came back from your trip. How many of you got to go? How many of you went on the trip? Yeah, okay. Most of you did. Well, let me tell you that you owe me something. 1956 was the first year that a graduating class got to go on the senior trip and stay overnight. Keep that in mind. Y'all were gone, what, several days, I think, weren't you? So anyway, and I was in that graduating class of 1956, and oh my goodness, you cannot imagine how the mamas and the daddies agonized over their little daughters going with that wild bunch of boys. And the mamas and daddies of those boys agonized as, oh, them wild girls and that bunch, no telling what'll happen down there. We were so excited about it. About 2 days before the trip, I came down with a mump, so I didn't get to go. But anyway, that was the first time the school had ever allowed anyone to go overnight. So you all have just really been blessed, and you're fortunate to do that. I just want to share that with you. I want to take just a few minutes and share a few thoughts with you, but they're right in line with what has already been said. You probably right now think you've got the world by the tail. You know more than all the rest of us put together. And the older you get, you're going to find out that some of these mamas and daddies knew more than we thought they did. And you'll begin to realize that maybe we didn't. I couldn't wait until I could get graduated and get out of this part of the country. Yeah, I see one or two of you nodding. That's what you're looking for. Well, let me tell you something. There'll come a time when you'll say, boy, I'd like to be back there again, you know. Maybe not back in Wheeland School, but I've even found that. But anyway, what I want to say and what I want to share with you for a few minutes this evening is that as you go, up to this point in your life, you've had tremendous support from your families, from your friends, from the faculty, from the staff of the school system, and they truly have been concerned about you and care about you, and they will continue to do that, in spite of the fact that you may think, you know, I don't think there's anybody who remembers me, or that when I get out here in the real world, that anybody's going to care. but they will. I can assure you that. But there is one person who will always be there for you. And I think you probably know who I'm going to refer to there, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He says in his word that he sticketh closer than a brother. And I believe that with every, I've experienced that. I know that for a fact. I don't just have to read that in his word. I've had those experiences. I tell people I've had more downs than I've had ups. And I want to tell you something. You'll have a lot more valleys than you'll have mountaintop experiences. The valleys are always much wider than the mountaintop is when you think about it. And so you'll spend a lot of time right down to where that it's not all glory, glory, hallelujah, praise the Lord. There are going to be some times when it's not. What I would like for you to remember is the words of the psalmist David, 121st Psalm, in the first verse. He said, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. There are going to be some times in your life when you are going to need some help. It may come from unexpected sources. It may be from people that you would least likely have expected to be there to help you. And there are going to be some times when you're going to think there is nobody to help you and nobody cares. But I just want you to be reminded of what the psalmist said. He said, I will lift up mine eyes unto the Lord, to the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. See, he goes ahead and finishes that. So he gets that. There are going to be some times that you're going to need to look up. Look up. Look to him. He won't disappoint you. He won't fail you. You also are going to be challenged as you go out because you've been fortunate to have people who've told you what's right and what's wrong. You haven't probably always done what they told you. And you probably haven't always believed what they said, that they were right, because you know better than they do. And yet, you know right from wrong. Every one of you do. Now, what you think is right, I might think is wrong. And what I think is wrong, you might think is okay. You know, that's just part of life. Just remember that to be the person you are, wherever you are. I told the guys back here just walking. I said, I guess I better button my coat and look a little bit formal to get up there. But most of the time, I'll have my coat unbuttoned, and I just will tell you that because that's the case. That's just a little thing. But be yourself wherever you are. Be honest with yourself. Be honest with yourself. It isn't going to matter what everyone else thinks. We always want to please other people. We're always trying to comply with what they want. So far, mamas and daddies and teachers have pretty well kept you in line. But they're just about to lose the reins, and you're going to be out here on your own. Never forget my first time away from home after I couldn't wait to get away. I was not prepared for what Kansas City had for a little farm boy from down here in the hills of Missouri. I wasn't any more prepared when I went from Kansas City to Springfield and went into college. Let me tell you what my biggest worry was when I went to college. Was how in the world am I going to get from this side of the campus for one class all the way over to the other side of the campus for my next class? I'd spent 12 years in the same building that you all have been in down here. I am a Wheatland graduate. Yeah, maybe you could tell that. But anyway, people laugh. My kids laugh at me when I tell something like that. And I tell them, you know, we graduated, we had 17 in our graduating class. They were in the hundreds when they graduated, you know. And so they said, Dad, tell us again, you know, about that little school that you went to down there. Well, I'm pretty proud of it. I still am and always will be. And that's why I'm most appreciative to be able to stand here and speak to you for a few minutes this evening. But let me also tell you that even though those people have told you what is right and what is wrong, and you've made your own decisions, your own opinions, there are going to be some forces out there that you've not dealt with yet that are going to put pressure on you like you've never experienced before. And let me tell you that Satan is no exception to that. You know, I started trying to think about, okay, when I talk about, I lift up my eyes to the hills from whence cometh my help. I went back over into the Old Testament, and the very first man and woman, after that God had created them and placed them in the Garden of Eden, and he placed the fruit there that said, you do not eat of that. You can have everything else there. So they knew right from wrong. They knew good from bad. They knew evil. And the Bible says that the woman looked at it. I'm not blaming the women, because the man's the one who took. So ladies, don't get on the wrong side of me here now, or don't let me get on the wrong side of you. But the Bible says that the woman, she looked at it, and the more she looked at it, the better it looked. There are going to be some times you're going to get out here and your gut feel is, this is wrong. I should not be doing this, or I should not be here. You probably should listen to that gut feeling. But a lot of times, the longer we debate it, the more we can justify what we're going to do, only to find out later, we're sorry that we did it. We're sorry. And it may be something that nobody else will ever know about. Never. Excepting you and the Lord. He always knows. But anyway, the woman, she looked at the tree and she realized that God had said, we shall not eat of that. But the more she looked, the better that fruit looked. And so finally the Bible says that she, the serpent, he beguiled her, you know. And he said to her, this is what he'll say. He's a liar. Always remember, Satan is always a liar. He'll never tell you the truth. He'll always tell you a lie. God will never lie. Never. Never has. Never will. Satan said, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Well, isn't that what we all want? We want to be able to have that perception. We want to be able to know more than somebody else. Now, I'm a native here, so I can get away with saying this. But this part of the country loves to know something that nobody else knows. Now, how in the world do you think that you can keep something that nobody else knows? They can't keep it. They want somebody else to know that they know something. And the first thing you know, it just gets gone clear out of proportion. It isn't even close to what it was originally. But we like to have this idea that we are unique. But I do tell people all the time, every single one of you are unique. God didn't make another one like you. Not a single one of you. I look here, little short one. right next to her, when you walked in, I said, there's a big old boy coming in the door, you know. So, you know, but every one of you are unique, and God never made another one just like you. Don't let people put you in a mold and say, well, you've got to be this, you've got to do that. Be yourself. But don't forget, once in a while, you need to lift up your eyes and get some help from Him above. Yeah. You're going to need that. But Satan said to her, so why? God knows that if you take of that tree, your eyes will be open and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. He was right, half right. They did know good and evil. Because the Bible says then, and the eyes of them both were open, and they knew they were naked. I went to Tennessee 2 or 3 years ago, and I preached for one of my fellow pastors down there in his church while he was on vacation. He came back and he called me up. He said, what in the world did you mean coming down there and getting up there and telling those people to get naked? I said, I never said that. I said, I got up there and I used what the Bible said. Jesus or God said to Adam and Eve, who told you you were naked? And I said, that was my test. I didn't get up there and tell those people to get naked. He was giving me a bad time. But you see how things can get going there. You know, he probably had somebody went to him and told him, that preacher you brought in here from Missouri, he got up there and told us to get naked. Of course, you know, I also tell people that I went to Tennessee for some time from California. And when I moved from California to Tennessee, they thought I'd come from Sodom and Gomorrah because I was from California. Oh my, it's terrible. Anyway, lift up your eyes. Look around once in a while. It is a big world. There are a lot of challenges that you're going to face, things that you've never experienced before. And many of those times, you will be alone. You won't have mom and daddy. They won't understand what you're experiencing. You all are so much smarter than my graduating class was. I mean that in all sincerity. You are. Good gracious, I wonder if I look back on it, how we even got a diploma. And now when I see some of you get A pluses, I never heard of such a thing. I didn't know you could be any better than perfect. And that's what I always thought A was. But I guess there's something above that. But anyway, I never got close to that. So please don't think that it would have been something that I could have attained. But I guess the thing is that you all are very sharp. You're very intelligent. And no matter how intelligent you are, so you are going to find sometimes that you're going to need some help. Lift up your eyes. There's another fellow in the Word of the Lord who when he lifted up his eyes and looked, it was tragic. Abraham and Lot. I've got just about 4 minutes here. Get you out of here. Nobody watches the clock any more than I do. See, it's in the back there. I've been watching it all the time. Some of you may have your iPads out there checking the time on me. I haven't seen you yet. If it rings, I always tell people, if it's God that's calling you, you answer. If it's not, turn it off. But anyway, if you may be watching the time, but I am too. Anyway, Abraham and Lot. It's a family relationship. Lot is Abraham's nephew. God has blessed them. They've been very blessed, and their herds have grown to the point to where that they start having trouble. There isn't enough land to take care of the herds. Abraham says to Lot, you know, it's not right that there should be dissension between us because we are family. We are brethren. So you take and you go to the right, and if you go to the right, I'll go to the left. Or if you want to go to the left, I'll go to the right. I'll give you the choice. You go whichever one. You get to make the choice. You all are going to have to make some choices. And sometimes they're not going to be easy choices. In this particular case, Lot looked out and he saw a beautiful land. It was a plentiful land. It appeared to be just exactly what he needed. And so he said, I'll take that one. He looked the other way, and it wasn't nearly. It was pretty much of a desolate land. And you might remember that Lot then chose the plains that led to Sodom and Gomorrah, the evil cities in the Old Testament that God destroyed. Lot was spared because he was one of God's people. But he made a bad choice. You'll probably make some bad choices, I'm sorry to say. Most every one of us had. When you do, just remember this. There is one who understands you. There is one who still loves you. There is one who will forgive you. And there is one who will help you. No matter what everyone else says, thinks, or does. You're going to see some of your attitudes and some of your beliefs and your ideas change from what they are right now. As you go on to pursue your careers, your education, you're going to find out, well, now what my teacher taught me back there at Wheatland is not what this professor is telling me out here now. And I kind of believe what this professor said over what that teacher told me back there. They may be right, they may be wrong, but you're going to have to make those decisions. You're going to need all the help you can get as you make some of those decisions. Lot chose what appeared to be the easiest and the most pleasant. And it turned out to be tragic. So always weigh when you make your decisions. Don't be hesitant to say, Lord, I need some help. I need your direction. I need help. Another one in the Word of the Lord is over in the book of Ecclesiastes. The wise old man of the Lord said this, the wise man's eyes are in his head. That sounds kind of funny, doesn't it? Where else would your eyes be? But in your head. But he's not just referring to the physical here. Use your head. Use the education you have. Use the brain God gave you. Use some good common sense. What I found out, and I've been here a long time, I'm just almost as old as dirt. But I've been here a long time, and I've learned a lot through the school of hard knocks. That's why I'm so beat up and worn out. I've learned everything through the school of hard knocks. But let me just assure you this evening that there are going to be some times whenever that you're going to have to use the wisdom that you have, but you're also going to need to say, I will lift up my eyes and ask help of Him who is the God of the hills, and He'll help you. There's one more in the Word of the Lord that I would leave you with this evening, that lifted up his eyes when it was tragically too late. As I said earlier, you young men and young women, you got the world by the tail. But let me tell you something. In my years here, I literally have conducted hundreds of funerals. And they've not all been old people. Just remember, life is very short at best. I hope that every one of you live to be 100 years older than I am. But the chances are not very good. But I certainly hope that you get to live out your allotted time. 70. My pastor used to say he's living on borrowed time. Well, I'm over on borrowed time, guys. But I will tell you this. The best part of the journey is the part when I've been able to lift up my eyes to the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, and allowed Him to lead, to guide, and to direct. And I give Him credit for that this evening. As I've mentioned, you know, I'm one of the alumni, and you're soon going to be an alumni. And my congratulations to each one of you on that. And as time goes on, that'll probably mean more to you than it does right now. But I say with all respect this evening that the best times have been those times whenever that I've been able to say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for the blessings that you've granted unto me. And not deserving of them, not worthy of them, but because He is good, and is good to every one of us, and He's good to you. Lift up your eyes, look to Him, enjoy the journey, and then one of these days, whenever that you think about it, so you know that old codger knew what he was talking about. Thank you for allowing me to be here this evening.